Are you okay?
Amen.
All right, okay. So we do need some Marthas to prepare some food, right? So we can hear the Lord's word. Okay. Well, we come to your outline, number 2, which is lesson 18, on the function of sisters in the church life. Three things in this outline. Number 1, being submissive. I would never think that to be submissive is a function. I think it's a quality. It's a condition. But our brother said this is a function. Very interesting. And then number 2 is praying. Praying. And number 3, caring for the affairs of the church. And as we will see, these affairs do not refer to, like, you know, cleaning the windows or mopping the floor. Not that those things are not important, but primarily we're not talking about those kind of practical affairs, but rather the affairs concerning people, all categories of people in the church, because the church is a people place, right? It's not just a building, not just a meeting hall, not just some, practical setup, but it's about people. So I'm going to read again these verses, and this time I will not dwell on them, but just to read it so that we have the Lord's word in front of us. The first one is chapter 5, 21 and 22. Now, this is in the deepest and the highest book of the New Testament on the church. But this is what the apostle said, being subject to one another in the fear of Christ. I'm actually these days quite burdened on this matter of fear. Fear. I fear that a lot of saints have no fear, especially a lot of our young people. And fear is one of the first things in terms of man's relationship with the Creator, with God Himself. The first thing is you are awed, A-W-E-D, and that is associated with a sense of fear, a healthy fear, or, as one place says, a godly fear. Fear is a positive thing, especially when we're talking about fearing God. Today, if you get rid of that fear in you, I really fear for you. I deeply fear for you. People who live like without fear, fearless. The fear of God is what preserves us. Even our lives, even our physical lives. So even when we subject ourselves one to another, we do so in Christ's fear. And then it says 22 wives. Now it talks about the sisters, particularly in this case the wives. Be subject to your own husbands. So we're talking about submission. A kind of subjecting yourself to another person. In this case, in the case of a wife, to her own husband. That's difficult. But this is the commandment. As to the Lord, my goodness, my goodness. Not just to submit. subject yourself to your own husband, but to treat him, this lousy guy, you know, this insensitive, forgetful, uncaring man, call your husband, you have to subject to him as to the Lord. Now talk about impossibility. I mean, this clearly tells us that you cannot, no one can keep this commandment except by another life, except in resurrection, except by living Christ. And sisters, that's the point here. If things are what you can do and accomplish naturally, then we don't need to be Christians. Christian life, by definition, is an impossibility. No one can live the Christian life. No one can live like Christ, except Christ himself. So the point here is that not you try to love your husband by your own strength, by your natural strength. It is to live Christ. Let Christ live. Let the one who can subject himself live in and through you. Okay. And then we now come to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, a very important chapter on the matter of the woman's subjection in God's order. But we will just read one verse. Verse 3. But I want you to know that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of the woman, and God is the head of Christ. Listen, even Christ has a head. Don't think that our head doesn't have a head. Our head, Christ, has his own head, and that is the Father God. And so even Christ have to submit himself. He was equal with God, according to Philippians chapter 2. But he did not consider that equality something to be grasped, but voluntarily, without coercion in the Trinity, without any twisting of the arm, voluntarily Christ, the Son, took the place of subjection. He became obedient even to the death of the cross. And so one day he will be highly exalted. Now my point, sisters, is this is Christ. And there in chapter 2 in Philippians, it's talk about specifically the mind of Christ. So what is the mind of Christ? It's simply put, a mind of submission. That's the mind of Christ. A mind of subjection. That's the mind of Christ. A mind of obedience. That's the mind of Christ. When we talk about our mind needing to be renewed, chiefly we're talking about having it renewed to be submissive, to be obedient. So Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of the woman. So the sisters, being submissive is your lot, your glorious lot, may I say. Glorious lot. Amen. Don't think this is, you know, as the progressive would say, this is turning us all back to the Stone Age. You know? Putting the woman under submission and subjection, and the man being the oppressor, of the female. No, this is not Stone Age. This is the Bible. This is God. Now, Acts 12:12. It says, and when he became aware of this, he went to the house of Mary. You know, this is Peter after he was, saved out of jail. He went to the house of Mary, a sister. There are many Marys, in the New Testament. This is only one of them. The mother of John, who was surnamed Mark. John Mark. Where there was a considerable number assembled together and praying. Two things. Number one, it's a house of a sister. Now, maybe the husband is deceased. She's a widow. I do not know. But it does not identify a man as the owner of the house, but a woman, Mary. That's her house, number one. Number two, it's likely, this is conjecture, but it is likely that in this house, the number assembled praying, many are sisters. I think it's not too much to infer that. And so, first thing, after Peter was released, he went to a sister's house with sisters who are praying, likely for him. For him. All right. Romans 16, 1 and 2. We read that, referred to that already, but let's read it because we didn't in the first meeting. I commend you to Euphoebe, our sister, who is the deaconess of the church which is in Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever matter she may have need of you, for she herself has also been the patroness of many, of myself as well. You know, this lady, this sister, took care of the apostle in a particular way. Now, later in this chapter 16 of Romans, it talks about a sister who is Paul's mother. You know? Paul's mother. Well, was she the real mother of Paul, or biologically? Likely not. But Paul considered her the mother. And that would be Rufus' mother, a brother. Her mother, Paul says, it's Rufus' mother and mine. Mine too. So there's someone in Rome who treated Paul like her son. The apostle, the great apostle, had a mother in the form of a sister. All right. So finally, John 12, 2a. So we're back to this house of Bethany. And it says, 2a is about Martha. Therefore, they made him a supper there, and Martha served. So Martha took care of a lot of practical affairs, mainly in the matter of giving hospitality, of the Lord, in the last days before he died in Jerusalem, daily in the day he went to Jerusalem to be tested, to talk to the people in Jerusalem, right? In the evening, he does not stay in the hotel there. You know, he came back. It is a walking distance, a mile or something like this, actually, between Jerusalem and the house of Bethany, which is actually on the foothills of the Mount of Olives. There the Lord would sleep every night. And the daytime, He did his job in Jerusalem. So they took care of the Lord. That's where the Lord lodged. That is the bed and breakfast of the Lord, you know. And so Martha was the one running that bed and breakfast, taking care of the Lord. Okay? All right. Now, let's come to these three things. Number one, they're just these three functions. I hope you remember it, and I hope you will study it carefully. Number one, the function of being submissive. The first function of the sisters is to be submissive. This is not doing anything. This is just being. Just your being submissive is you functioning. This does not involve the doing of any kind of work, but it is a real function. Being submissive is much greater than any kind of doing. If the sisters are submissive, they are doing the greatest thing in the world. My goodness, my goodness. This is the greatest function on the side of the sisters. You know, we have a reference of Genesis 3 where the first woman, Eve, failed in this matter. She didn't do anything apparently evil or bad. She just didn't check with her husband, Adam, and listened to that snake, the serpent, and ate of that fruit and gave the other half to Adam. What is the result? It plunged the entire mankind into sin, into chaos, and eventually into destruction, into death and destruction, just by one woman's forgetting to keep her place, her position. We become the victims of her what? Unsubmission. See how serious this is? I like to say this today, not to the same degree. Many of our problems in our human life, marriage life, church, family life, church life, the source is not this, not that, not this, you know, not this offense, not that thing. It is somewhere a lack of submission. First, to God, to the Lord, and to the Holy Spirit. And then some kind of in subjection between the sister and the brother. In the case of a marriage, the wife and the husband. In the case of a family, maybe a child and the parent or the father. And in the church, some kind of in submission or in subordination towards the leadership, those who take the lead. And it may even be mutual in subjection. I don't know if there's such a word in English. Because we're told to subject ourselves to one another. So the source of really all problems that plague mankind and society, you can trace it to some form of rebellion. Some form of insubordination. And in the realm that we're in, the spiritual realm, the divine and mystical realm, called God's kingdom, there's a rule here. There's a throne here. There's a government here. It's all about this government. Today, even in a small household, it's about government. When that little household is in order, I tell you, it's a right household. It will grow. It will thrive. It will be happy. Everything is in order. When that is disrupted, There's rebellion. Things just fall apart. I tell you, things just start falling apart. You can check. Why is my life falling apart? Somewhere, the source is a kind of rebellion. Why is my marriage falling apart? Somewhere. Now, I'm not saying that there are not other factors at play. There are other factors. You know, human life is complex. But I'm saying one of the key things is this matter. Sisters, the brothers also need to be submissive. No doubt about it. The brothers are not here to rule. The brothers have to submit. But the word, particularly, is that the sisters is given a particular function that even the brothers don't have. And that is to testify to the angels, the rebellious fallen angels, the enemies of God, that there is a people, there is a testimony of God on the earth that disagree with that rebellion. And there is a group of women or sisters, females, that will what? Follow and obey God's ordination in His creation. To be submissive. I tell you, this is greater than any doing. This is greater than any doing. But sisters, to do that, you need the cross. You need to be terminated and killed. The same with the brothers. But I'm speaking to the sisters. Did I read one? If the sisters are submissive, they are doing the greatest thing in the world. This is the greatest function on the side of the sisters. Oh, I pray this way. Lord, make me a sister in this way. I am still too unsubmissive. My mind, my attitude. In the entire world today, in every country, in all the schools, in all the homes, what we see is not order and submission, but rebellion upon rebellion. The entire world is rebellious toward God. The world is like a stormy ocean full of the winds of rebellion. Look around. That's what you see. I don't care you're in China, you're in U.S., you're in Taiwan, where it does not matter. It is just filled with all manners of rebellion. In the church, the situation should not be like this. The church is an anti-testimony. The church is God's chosen vessel to bear a testimony to the universe that is absolutely different from the world. In the local churches, as the local expressions of the body of Christ, there should be genuine submission. That doesn't mean, sisters, that you are like a jellyfish, you have no backbone. It doesn't mean that. It does not mean that. When it comes to the truth, we have to stand up. We have to fight. We have to contend. Am I right? When it comes to fighting the enemy, we have to put on the whole armor. Absolutely. So we're not a bunch of jellyfish or jabs, you know? No. But it's possible that a person that is strong, that is firm, that is solid, to have a most pliable will, a will that has been touched, a will that has been transformed, a will that is submissive. It's possible. Sisters, it is possible. I want you all to glory in submission. rather than fight this. Look at Christ. What a pattern of a lifelong submission to his Father. That's the life that we all need to live, brothers or sisters. Sisters, when you cannot submit, I would ask you to pray. Don't just say, I can't do it. Don't say that. You have to quote Philippians 4, I can do all things, but not by yourself. In him who strengthens me. So take Christ to submit to your husband that is hard to submit to. Even impossible to submit. In Christ, the brothers and sisters are the same. In Christ, there are no difference between males and females. You know, Galatians 3:28, okay? Galatians 3:28, let me just quickly go to it. It says what? It says... Okay, there cannot be Jew or Greek, there cannot be slave or free man, there cannot be male and female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. Yes, in Christ, there are no males and females. Okay, however, B, in the church life, there is a difference between the brothers and sisters because the church life is a spectacle to be seen by men. So the church, you know, the church in Fremont is actually a lampstand, or should be, as a testimony to the community of Fremont. And they don't see in Christ because they don't even are not in Christ themselves. They only see just people, just some human beings. So the local churches is a spectacle. It is a show for people to see. And what do they see? They see males and females. In the eyes of the Lord, the universe today is like a theater, and the church is a spectacle in this universal theater to exhibit something and to show something to the whole creation. That's what we're doing in our localities. In this spectacle, listen, the sisters have been put in the position of being submissive, and the brothers have been put in the position of being the head. Now, I counsel the brothers always, you may be the head, but don't act like you're the head. You understand what I'm saying? You just be what you are in the Spirit and in Christ. But the sisters also, the spectacle has a submissive side. And that role would be played mainly by the sisters. You know, these four sisters I mentioned in the biography. Okay, Ruth Lee, Peace Wang. These are extremely smart, capable sisters with great intellect, accomplished, very accomplished people. And in many cases, much smarter than the brothers. Let me see who are the two other sisters. The first one, actually, one named Dora Yu, the evangelist who got Brother Nee saved. She preached the gospel even in Korea. I think so. Anyway, she was a preacher. She got Brother Nee saved. And then the last one was Sister Emmy Barber. There were many songs by Emmy Barber here in our hymnal. These are spiritual ladies. They're not dumb people at all. Even in that old China. But let me tell you, they display submission. Now, if it's hard for you to submit, it'll be harder for Peace Wang to submit. You know what I'm saying here, right? But they did. Not, you know, they forced themselves or whatever. By really experiencing the cross and living in resurrection. Sisters, let's not talk about these spiritual things. Let's make them our experience and our reality. To be submissive requires, look at these. I like these four things. You underline them. Number one, the supply of life. Number two, the enjoyment of grace. Number three, the working of the cross. And number four, the denial of the self. It just takes these things. And these things are freely available to us today in our spirit. But we won't turn to the spirit. We're stubborn to say in our soul, where there is no supply, no grace, no cross, and no self-denial. See, we should consecrate ourselves to the Lord, not to do a work for the Lord, but simply to be submissive. If the sisters in a local church are submissive, the church will be strong, living, rich, and prevailing. It is much more prevailing for the sisters to be submissive than for them to do any kind of work. This is the first lesson the sisters need to learn. I have come across my share of sisters over these last 50-some years in the church life who are like that. I mean, they are just capable, they are smart, they do many things, but they know their position. And they function accordingly. It's beautiful. It's just absolutely beautiful. You know, when that is the case, the throne of God is among us in the church. You just know it. And when the Lord's throne is here, the Lord can freely carry out his will. All right, the second function is the function of prayer. Big subject. A, the local church very much needs the functioning of the sisters in prayer. I don't know what else to say, but just repeat this very definite statement of fact. History and our experience tells us clearly that the praying function is not mainly on the brother's side, but on the sister's side. Well, you say the brothers don't need to pray then? No, the brothers desperately need to pray. In fact, in 1 Timothy, it says, I wish men would raise their holy hands to pray everywhere without wrath and reasoning. The first thing is to men. But it says what? Similarly, the women. And it spoke a lot more about the women in that chapter than men. A word to the sisters. Where am I? Sorry. We turned the page, right? Okay, sorry. Oh, sisters, please pray. May I say that? May I just plead with you that the church need you to pray? Normally, on an ongoing basis, and in special situations and needs, it just needs you to pray. So I say, sisters, personally, you know, by yourself, I like to suggest that you would have times of prayer. Even specific times of prayer. Maybe after your child is in bed, you know, whatever. I don't know what. Or because if you don't have certain times, times will fly by and you lose it. You know what I'm saying? But when you mark it in your calendar or, you know, it's part of your daily schedule, it's just there, sanctified for that purpose. I don't know how long the Lord leads you, and depends on your capacity as well. Then I would say, have a time with a few companions, by phone, by whatever, Zoom, by I don't know by what, by WhatsApp, or I don't know, whatever the technological means, you can be at home, two or three, not to chit-chat, not to, you know, but to pray. Oh my, oh my. I tell you, if there would be even just a few small circles of prayer like this in the church, it will make a big difference in that locality. Really, really. And then I would say, sisters, we need you to pray in the groups. You know, you're in some groups. And in the church prayer meeting, which is a very important meeting of the church, to come and also to pray. It's normal that in the church prayer meeting, the sisters would pray more than 50%. It's normal. It's normal. You know, a lot of times we pray in the meetings, and then I feel the prayer is done on this subject. We need to move on until a sister start praying. I said, oops, we forgot. It's not finished yet. Do you follow me? Do you follow me? I don't mean, sisters, you come and be the leader, you take over. I don't mean that. But in the same thing of as salt, right? To flavor, to strengthen, to support, to augment, to enhance the prayer of the church, sisters. That's your function. Those things. We're now preparing a little form to help all the saints, not just sisters, all the saints, that on a daily basis you check a box. Your personal prayer with dates, your companion prayer, your group prayer in the groups, and your prayer with the church, just to help you to be more specific. You know, treat this almost like a job. You know, when you go to work, you don't go by feeling, huh? I don't feel like working. Well, wait till the boss walk by, okay? You're out of there. Okay. No. Build up this as your function, your regular function, like an employment, like a job. You take it so seriously, and you will learn soon to become an effective intercessor in the church life as a sister. The brothers should be on the front lines battling the enemy, and the sisters need to be behind the scenes to control the situation. I know many sisters like to control things, manipulate things. All right? I'm going to help tell you how to do that, to really control things, not by twisting your husband's ear, okay? But behind the scenes, control the situation by prayer. I tell you, prayer at the throne controls everything. by calling on the Lord as the highest authority to come into the situation. You appeal to the throne. You appeal to the highest authority in this universe. Lord, come in. Come into that couple situation and do something. We cannot tolerate that. We don't agree with that situation. Come in, Lord. Nobody even know you pray, but you pray. Or a few of you prayed. Powerful. That is powerful. I like to really see church after church, many sisters in a hidden way, praying such effective kingdom prayers. Three, some of the members of the church need to constantly bear the responsibility of praying for the church. Who are they, sisters? Which includes praying for the elders. I tell you, do you think elders need prayer? I mean, they desperately need prayer. I mean, they don't know what to do without your prayer. You know, we have churches where the sisters, all they do is criticize the elders. Oh, I wish they won't do that. That's a lousy elder, you know. He needs to go back to the full-time training middle age. Like me, I went to the full-time training, but the elder has not even been to the training. Oh, terrible. But how about, sisters, you don't do that. You pray for them. If you have a burden, they go to the middle age training, don't criticize, pray for that. Do you follow me? Do you follow me, sisters? Really, I mean this. I really mean this. You need to constantly bear responsibility. This is a responsibility. This is an obligation you have. You should not wish it away. You should embrace this responsibility and pray for the responsible brothers. Pray for the young people. Pray for the children. Pray, I don't know what. Now we have the third meeting in the church on Lord's Day. Pray for that third meeting. Pray for the brothers who are going to minister. Don't criticize them. Don't just spread, you know, express your opinion. How about, if you want to express your opinion, go to the throne. Tell the Lord what's wrong. Tell the Lord the need in the church. When the sisters learn the lessons of being submissive, it will be easy for them to take care of their second function, the function of prayer. Actually, no one who is unsubmissive can pray effectively. There's not such a thing. Because every prayer is before the throne. It's touching the throne of grace. Okay? So when it comes to the throne and you are rebellious, that prayer will go nowhere. It will not be heard nor answered. But when you're in a submissive state, you know, that's why when we pray, we kneel down, right? That posture is not some kind of ritual. That posture is a sign that you're in a what? Position of submissiveness. Because you're before the throne. So we need to always have the condition of submission. Then whatever we pray will be heard. The praying function of the sisters is based on and comes out of the real submission. The praying life comes from the submissive life. I love this little saying. The praying life comes from the submissive life. You did something not submissive, you better take care of that before the Lord or before men. Then you go to pray. Just like in Matthew, before you make the offering, am I right? Go make things right. This is one of the main things. 2, if the sisters are submissive, the Holy Spirit, listen, will burden them to pray for everything related to the church. Whatever they realize, know, and understand related to the brothers and sisters. You know the things come to your ears. You discern, you observe. That's nothing wrong with that. That is not trying to be nosy, trying to, you know, get into people's business. We're in a family. These things come to us. But what you do with that information is what's important. Many will just spread them like rumors. They talk, they gossip, and they cause a little molehill into a mountain. They, by their talk, give ground to the enemy. They rub salt, not the right kind of salt, the wrong kind of salt, on the wound and cause more damage. By doing that, we open the gate of Hades in the church life for death to come in. Sisters, shut up that gate. Submit yourself, and by submission, we will have the Lord's authority to pray binding and loosing prayers, the prayers that will really touch certain situations and change certain situations and even heal certain situations. If the sisters criticize only a little, the criticizing spirit will kill their prayer life. My experience, yours too, I'm sure, nothing kills prayer as quick as talk. You know, James say, out of the same mouth cannot flow bitter water and sweet water. No such thing. It's one or the other. If you talk, you cannot pray. Even after you stop talking, it will take a while before the praying spirit returns. Yeah, that's just our experience. Some saints, some sisters, when they come together, right away they can pray. Some, they couldn't pray. It will take them a long time to deal with certain things before they are even ready to pray. But others, they're just ready because they live in that condition. They deal with the Lord regularly. Okay. The sisters must realize that the position the Lord has given to them is to be submissive. If the sisters will fulfill this responsibility, they will have the life to continually pray for the church. The spiritual eyes in their spirit will be very keen to enter into the hearts of the saints and know their situation. How many of us have this experience when we pray, really we're with the Lord in the spirit, we begin to have certain discernment that comes from Him. Certain kind of realization, not from your mind, but really from your spirit, to even guide you in how you should pray. Without that discernment, you pray a certain way. But with that insight, which is a kind of wisdom from the Spirit, you pray a different way. And the first kind of prayer doesn't work out anything because it's kind of natural. But this kind of prayer have certain results because it is from discernment. It is from the Holy Spirit. And by the way, it says we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit grown within us, am I right? And because He knows the mind of the one, that means the Spirit knows the mind of Christ, the real heavenly intercessor, the real praying person in the heavens. And our prayer is simply to echo His prayer. But how do you echo? The way you echo is by being taught by the Spirit. The Spirit giving you feeling and utterances to pray. So there's a lot of lessons to learn in the art of prayer, all the way even down to the right words. You know, certain words, when you use it, it doesn't get through. Even you know the burden cannot be discharged. But somehow another word or utterance is used, the burden flows. So there's a lot of learning here, sisters, and that's why. And how do we learn? We learn by doing. We learn on the job. Okay. Although the sisters will know the situation of the saints, including the elders, they should never say a word. They should bring all the matters to the Lord and call on the Lord as the head, as the highest authority. There are many sisters like that. You know, I once served in the church in Anaheim. I can tell you, one sister, that's Sister Lee. Brother Lee's wife, Sister Lee. And with a few other sisters, you know, older sisters. Every Tuesday or whatever in the week, they gather downstairs at that time in Ball Road, you know, on the church in Anaheim side, just in the little room, and they pray. Sometimes they walk by, you know, walk by. My, it is serious stuff. I mean, it is a holy place. You want to take off your shoes, you know. You understand what I'm saying? They were transacting. They were making deals. They were touching the throne. They were calling on the highest authority for things of the church. I don't always enter into that realm. But I tell you, they're just doing that. And nobody knows. I tell you, that controls the church. The situation of the church. Unbeknownst to the saints. Hidden. I tell you, I wish there are more sisters like that in all the local churches. By the way, young sisters, you say, I'm not like that. I will never be like that. This is too high. Don't say that. It'll take time. It'll take time for you to build this up. But I wish, at least my speaking, will put or instill in you a certain aspiration, a certain appetite, a certain desire that you would be this way. Start there. You cannot pray for 15 minutes, 30 minutes. How about start with 5 minutes? Just start there. It means a lot. You cannot pray every day. How about start with once a week, twice a week? Start there. We come to number three, the function of caring for the affairs of the church. I won't take much time. I always like to give this time at least a few minutes for your questions. You may have some questions to ask. If the sisters are submissive and carry out their function of prayer, it will be easy for them to realize what affairs of the church they need to take care of. By the way, we will give to all the saints, not just the sisters, not only a little, what do you call it, schedule, a check box schedule, but even a list of things to pray from Monday to Lord's Day. How about among all the churches in the USA, we sanctify year 2020 for to be a year of intercession? The whole year. Not as a movement, but we encourage one another church by church with the elders taking the lead and the sisters giving it birth. We will all pray more than past years. We will practice. We will labor. We will build this up. From Monday through Lord's Day, we will have some general things you can pray for on this day, so you don't need to, you know, scratch your head. It's just there. But still, those are just something written black on white. As you pray, the Spirit will lead you. How to pray for that matter. That's living. That's living. My, if in Bay Area, not to mention 3,000 saints on Lord's Day. If we have just, I tell you, 500 saints that will do this. 1,000 brothers and sisters who would do this faithfully, I tell you, the Bay Area will be changed. Amen. Your church will change. Amen. Trust me. Amen. Trust me. Whether it's the gospel, whether it's young people, whether it's campus, whether it's even the return of the dormant saints, whether it's our children, whether all the things, the Lord will have a way. And don't you want to see the Lord have a way in Northern California? Amen. I'm so burdened for that. Amen. And it is possible. Amen. And I think this year we need to begin by prayer. Amen. Sisters, you take the lead. This is your function. Nearly everything related to the church needs to be taken care of by the sisters. One, in a family, the wife and mother takes care of nearly everything. They are all inclusive. It is the same with the church. They get groceries, they cook, they clean, they change diapers, they take people to the doctor, they administer medicine. They are all inclusive. Sisters, you are all inclusive. Of course, we're all different gifts. But I'm speaking about the general function of sisters. All the affairs of the church need to be taken care of by sisters. The brothers are only the head, whereas the sisters can be likened to the body, which has many members and many functions. The sisters need to be take care of the brothers, the sisters, the children, the elderly saints, and the young people. If the elders are inadequate in fulfilling their function, the reason is not that something is wrong with them. Rather, something's wrong with the sisters. You say, everything, you blame us. Even the lousy elders, you blame us. This is not fair. Well, this is not my word. I'm reading the ministry here, okay? But you see the point. This is not a matter of blame. Sisters, this is not a matter of blame. Something is wrong with the sisters because they did not take care of the elders well by their prayer. If the sisters care for the elders properly, the elders will fulfill their function. You know, nowadays we have many younger, newer elders. You know what I mean? Pray for them. Amen. They really need prayer. For the sisters' care will issue in the genuine building up of the church. Brother Lee says 70% of the building up of a local church, that means a practical building up, depends on the sisters. 30 depends on the brothers. I fully agree with that. I absolutely agree with that. I'm done. I think I put enough burden on you. But let me tell you, the Lord says, come to me. Amen. My burden is light. Amen. Learn of me, he said, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. Amen. The Lord can do it, as he has done with many dear sisters in the past ages. In fact, sisters in the Lord's recovery. I think even you know some. Even you know some. All right. I think in Berkeley we had over 700 sisters, including live stream, you know, a few months ago in Berkeley. 700, 800 sisters. My, if that number of sisters with the same number of brothers. Oh, my goodness, we have 1,500 saints praying in varying degrees, you know, some stronger, some weaker. It's okay, but we all are a corporate intercessor. My, what the Lord will do. I cannot even imagine. All right, still have 9 minutes. You have some questions for me. About anything, not even about this. You know, we need prayer for GTCA. There are 10 cities. We pray the Lord will raise up 300. of saints to go, 30 full-timers to go. The Lord is doing something to take the United States. We need prayer. The Lord says, ask the Lord of the harvest that he would thrust out workers into the field. He said, what? You don't receive because you don't ask. Brothers, sisters, be bold to ask. I like to just say this matter of prayer, okay? Number one, in terms of some points, right? Very simple. You know, someone asked Brother Lee, how to pray? You know, what's the secret to pray? He said, to pray is just to pray. You know, one of these brotherly answers, right? Then he said this. He said the main thing is burden. The main thing is burden. Without a burden, there's no point to even pray. You're just praying as a ritual, as a program. But when you're burdened to such a degree, you forget even to eat. That's the real meaning of fasting. So you need to acquire burdens. In the beginning, you may be reading some paper, pray for this and that. But soon enough, you acquire burden. You pick up burdens from this, from what you see, from what you observe, from what you hear. You pick up burdens. And you turn that into prayer. Okay, so that's the first thing, burden. The second thing is, you need to learn to pray by faith or with faith. Now, faith is a very elusive thing. You know, what is faith? What? Okay. But faith is also the most real thing because faith is what substantiates what is not seen and make them reality. And dear sisters, we live in the realm of faith. In other words, you have to believe when you pray. Don't pray with a heart of unbelief. Now, don't pray crazy prayers. You know, Lord, give me $1 million. That's crazy prayer. Most likely that prayer will not be answered, okay? I mean, the Bible says that is to pray amiss, wrong prayer. I'm saying the proper kind of prayer, according to the three P's, right? You pray that prayer. I tell you, you have to believe. Number one, you're praying to God, the faithful one. His name is called what? The faithful one. What is the first name of God in the Old Testament? See, even we all forget. Number two, his promises are, he's faithful to his promises. That means his word. So trust in his word. Claim the promises. Nothing honors God like our faith in him, our belief in him. So practice to believe. Number three, pray perseveringly. That means don't just pray one time and done. A lot of our prayer is like, you know the old-fashioned scale? You know, what do you call it, scale? You know, balance, right? You put something here, you put weights here to see how much it weighs. Okay, so we say something about you want to tip the balance, right? So here is something weighty on this side. You want to tip that balance, you push your finger there or you do something, right? Put something heavier there than to the balance. Watchman Nee said prayer is like putting small pieces of paper on this side. You put one, nothing happens. You put five, nothing happens. You put 100, nothing happens. But you keep putting, you keep putting, you keep putting. One day, you put enough of those paper, the balance tipped. That's why we need to pray without ceasing. Don't give up. You know, my grandmother prayed for me like I don't know for how many years. She's still praying that prayer. Do not give up. So that woman in Luke 19 or whatever, right, who one asks the unrighteous just to avenge her, she just bug this judge. She just won't let him go. She bother this judge. This judge is like, get away from me. You know, it's like one of these beggars. In the old days in Hong Kong, they just come to you, they're dirty. And, you know, the adult beggar won't come. They send their little kids. They come and grab you. This smelly, stinky, dirty, in order to get rid of them, I have to give them some money. It's the only way I can get rid of them. And when I give the money to them, they leave me alone. I tell you, that's the attitude. You just grab the Lord, stinky, dirty, and everything else, until the Lord gives you that money. That's what happened to that woman. Exactly. He keeps knocking. Knocking. Every morning you get up, you knock again. You knock again until the Lord is bothered so much. She say, okay, please stop knocking. I need a break. What do you want? That's the story. Don't think this is a joke. This is real. We lose heart. We just stop. Sisters, persevere. That's why it says, and they continue steadfastly in prayer. That's the first church life. Another point. Learn to pray in detail. You know, general prayer. Lord, bless the world. The Lord will say, okay. What does that mean? Even God has a question for you. You see what I'm saying? A lot of our prayers are unanswerable prayer to God. So have pity on God so he know what to do. You tell them, I want a chocolate milkshake with cream and a cherry on top, so he knows exactly what to make for you. You go there and say, hey, give me a drink. Nothing is too detailed for God. God is a detailed God. And he answers in detail. Name names. Name situations. Name time. Of course, in a proper kind of way. And expect answers. Expect answers. Sometimes that answer won't come until 10 years later. But you expect it. Amen?
Amen.
1 o'clock, so no time for questions. But there is still at least 1 minute or two, how about that, to pray with your neighbor.
Amen.
Consecrate, sisters, yourself based on this word. All right? Amen. Let's pray. Amen.